Mark 11:22. Alan, if you'll put that up on the screen for us, please. Mark 11:22. I'm going to read it in the King James. If you've memorized it, you can just close your eyes and say it, or look at the other wall and say it. Let's all stand together as we read Mark 11:22 and 23. Are you ready? Then Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. You can be seated. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the light it brings to our life. We thank you for the high calling, Jesus, in your kingdom to be kings and priests unto you. We thank you for kingdom authority. You said you give us the keys of the kingdom, and we receive those with thanksgiving today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to come back to another verse in that chapter, but I want to camp for a bit on verse 22 as it says, have faith in God. Say that with me. Have faith in God. Another translation, the original text somewhat reads like this. Have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Now, I want you to note something. When Jesus said things like this, Jesus was such a blesser. He would breathe out what sounded like a command. And it is. But you have to understand that in every command the Lord gives us, because of his nature, there is grace to carry out that command. In other words, we say it this way, that's an empowering word. When Jesus said, have faith in God, he was actually breathing on his disciples the ability to believe in God. Are you with me? Amen. That's why it says, then Jesus answering said unto them. He didn't just answer Peter, who in the previous verse had asked him about the fig tree that withered, but he said, it says, Jesus answering said unto them, because this is a whosoever will, total group, all people involved kind of statement. And the statement again is, have faith in God. Let me give you some other examples where Jesus said things and empowered people. Remember when Peter said, Lord, is that you out on the water? And what did Jesus say? One word. Come. Well, Peter said, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat, placed his foot on the water, and he actually stepped on the word come. He stepped on Jesus' word, not the water. And when we step on his word, his word becomes unto us what he declared. Amen? Because there's power in his word. Can you say amen? It's an empowering word. He says in another place in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's not just a command. He's not telling us to be strong in our own strength. He's not trying to give us a command and us go have to run off and try to muster up the provision for that command. No, he breathes blessing out of every command. And he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. That's a good confession you ought to speak over yourself every day. I'm strong in the Lord. I receive it. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Because his commands are his empowerment. I'll give you another example. He said in the letter from Peter the Apostle, he quotes from the Old Testament. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, how many of you know after 1,500 years of the Israelites trying to be holy through the law, they couldn't achieve it, right? So when God says, be ye holy, he's not trying to tell you to try to live up to the law and keep some sort of high standard of holiness that you and I could never touch anyway as humans. But he's breathing on us the empowerment to be what he's asking us to be. He says, be ye holy. It's like a father that just breathes out blessing on his children. You may or may not have grown up with a father that did that, but that's a father's role in the home. Amen? He's the priest of the home, and priests were always called to bless. To bless. And so when our Father says, be ye holy, he's actually breathing in us the empowerment to be that thing he's asking us to be. Amen? Amen. This is why priests oftentimes were called upon in the Second World War when they would christen a ship, right? They would get the local priest or the biggest priest in the area, come out there and smash the champagne bottle against the ship. Why? because they wanted the blessing of the priest on the ship. Amen? And you and I are called to bless. In case you didn't know that, some of you parents of young children, your role as parents is to bless your child, bless your child, bless you. You empower those children by what you speak over them and what you declare to them. You can put words in their ears that will literally empower them to rise in life. Amen. On the same token, you can put words in their ears that will cause them to go down or not achieve. Be careful what you speak over your children. Amen. And you older folks, grandchildren. Amen. You have power in this room. Some of you older couples, you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, some of you. You have power to bless like God blesses. While you're sitting under the preaching of the word, not just today, but every day that you're here in church, there's the power in the word of God in your ears for the Holy Spirit to work with and quicken you in certain areas that you weren't expecting when you came to church that day. There are people that have sat in the Lord's presence and God gives them business ideas, creative inventions. He shines his light on how to deal with a certain situation at work that they've been troubled over. Or he gives you an insight into your children, how to deal with a rebellious attitude or a wrong situation that keeps coming up in the home. God will give you those ideas as you sit under the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God itself brings blessing as we hear it. You know, this is why Joshua, in Joshua 1:8, it says that he was, the Lord came to him and said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." What? Why would God be able to say that to Joshua? Because obviously Joshua at that moment was sitting there doing what? Reading the book of the law. And as he's reading the word, as he's listening to the word, the Holy Spirit leans over his shoulder and breathes a word in his ear and says, "Joshua, this book will not depart out of your mouth." Amen. You will meditate on it day and night. We're going to talk about meditation at the end of my message. And this word will cause you to be a success in all that you do. Let me sum up my message today, if I can say it this way. The same comment that that Mary told the servants at the wedding of Cana. What did she say to him? "Whatever he tells you, do it." Right? Amen. That's what she said to the servants. "Whatever he tells you, do it." And that's what the Lord does through us. He says, "Have faith in God." Now look at verse 14 there in Mark 11. Verse 14, Jesus answering said unto it. I want you to pause and consider what that just said. Jesus answering and said unto it. Did you know Jesus talked to its? Yep. Faith people are a little odd. We talk to its. You know, nouns are people, places, and things. Faith people talk to things, not just people. That's a little bit odd. Don't you find it odd that it says Jesus answering, he answered a tree? He replied to a tree. You know, the Pharisees and the people of the Jews, well, not so much the Pharisees, excuse me, the Jewish people later in the Gospels, they said remarks like, "We never heard anyone like this who speaks with authority." Authority. You and I are called to speak with authority, to speak to things, as strange as that may seem. Now, we shared with you last week that the reason Jesus cursed the fig tree was that the foliage, the leaves that were on it, gave signal that the early fruit was there. The fig tree is an unusual tree in that even if it's not the season for its regular fruit, the putting out of its leaves tells the passerby that there's a little almond-like fruit. It's like an early fruit. They call it taksh, T-A-Q-S-H, I believe, in the Hebrew language, taksh. And so if you were hungry for a snack, you wouldn't get the full fruit, but you could walk by if you saw a fig tree with leaves on it and it wasn't yet the season for figs, you could partake of those little almond snacks, if you would. And Jesus, when he approached the tree, that's why it seems kind of a contradictory thing, why the Bible says the tree was not yet, it was not yet the time for figs, and yet Jesus cursed it. You ever wondered that? Why would he curse the tree if it wasn't time for the figs? Well, because the fig tree is unusual. Listen, we said last week, you got to be careful who you hang with, because the company you keep may keep you pulled down from your highest in the Lord. Pulled down from your highest. You want to hang around people who speak your potential in Jesus. Paul said things like, "I forget those things which are behind." You know, there's some people that will hold you to your past. They may be good friends, actually. And many times relatives can be that way. Because why? They know you so well. They know you so well. And they will speak over you what they've seen for years, year after year after year. They'll speak that over your life. Words have power. And if you're not careful, the company you keep will keep you locked in to your past. Listen, you got to choose your company carefully. Choose faith people that will speak your potential in the Lord. Amen? Amen. We looked at Gideon. We saw that he was quite a different man by the time God got done with him than when God first approached him. Gideon was, threshing wheat inside of a wine press would be like standing inside of a well, W-E-L-L, and threshing wheat. And while he was doing that because the Midianites had overrun the country and they were stealing everybody's food. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Hail thou, mighty man of valor." Well, that doesn't sound like much of a mighty man of valor to me, hiding in a cave while he's, you know, doing his farm work, right? But God saw a different picture of Gideon. Amen? Amen. We use the illustration, Judges 7:18 says that Gideon told his soldiers, "When we go to fight the enemy, I want you to smash this vessel. Inside the vessel was a torch, and blow a trumpet, and then shout for the sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And we said faith is like your sword. Your personal faith is like your personal sword. A soldier, a warrior knows their weapon well, especially when they've had to use it time and time again. They get to know how that weapon operates, how it feels in the hand. And Gideon said that. He said, "I want you to shout a sword for Gideon." And we said that your faith has to develop just like a weapon in the hand of a warrior. Your faith, what does that mean? That means you've got to be used to speaking that faith, using that faith muscle to speak against mountains on a regular basis. Amen? There are preachers who can build your faith, teachers of the Bible that can help encourage your faith. The body of Christ can stand with you in agreement with your faith, but it's your faith that's going to move the mountain. And mountains never moved by someone standing there staring at them. You got to do what? Speak to it. You got to speak to it. That's what we're told here in Mark 11, 22 and 23. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn over to Judges chapter 8. Let's look at the life of Gideon toward the end of his experience there. Judges chapter 8. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then we're in Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 8. We're not going to take time to read the whole story, but I want you to see some key verses here in this chapter, starting with verse 10, Judges 8, 10. Now, Gideon has just fought this huge battle. He's taken 300 men and fought and defeated the Midianites, who were over 100,000 men. That's just crazy odds, right? I'm not that quick with my math, but that's amazing odds for 300 men to overrun an army of over 100,000. And he catches up to the kings of this enemy army. And look at verse 10 in Judges chapter 8. It says, "Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts were with them, about 15,000 men." Think of that. Like, that's about half of Alvin or so. 15,000 men. Against how many again? 300. That's still an overwhelming odd, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think so. It's 15,000 men, and they were all left... that were left of the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. That's how many Gideon had already beaten. 120,000 men. That's crazy. Yeah. 300 people beating 120. It's like that doesn't even make sense. If the enemy only knew there was only 300 guys coming after him, that, you know, in the natural, that's just crazy. There's no way. But with God, say with God. Yeah. Amen. With God. Verse 11, "And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwell in tents on the east of..." No, that's not where I want to go. Skip down to verse 18. "Then said he..." Okay, he caught the kings. This is where I want to get to. "He said unto Zeba and Zalmunna, 'What manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor?' And they answered..." Look at these words. "'As thou art, so were they, each one resembling the child of a king.'" In my New International Version, it says, "Each one had the bearing of a prince." And they're talking to Gideon, who we might call Chicken Little at the beginning of the story, right? Chicken Little Gideon, hiding in the cave to keep the Midianites from stealing his wheat. And God calls him a mighty man of valor. He rises to the identification that God gives him. And what happens later in the story, these enemy kings say, "Oh yeah, we killed your brothers." And he said, what kind of men were they? Gideon was trying to find out if it was his relatives. And they said, each one of them like you, carrying the bearing of a prince. Wow, I think Gideon held his head a little higher, his shoulders back a little more than before at the beginning of the story. Amen? And this is the kind of transformation that faith will make in your life. Listen, when you start to win some faith victories, it'll put a little spring in your step. Amen? But you're going to have to exercise your faith to do that. And what does that involve? Believing in your heart, Mark 11:23, and saying with your mouth, come on, help me out here. Believing in your heart, it's only been 10 minutes, right? Believing in your heart, saying with your mouth, and not doubting, amen? Listen, this is a great story, this Gideon story. I hope some of you that have kids, grandkids, you'll read this to your little ones, because there are plenty of hero stories in the Bible, amen? How many of you know, nowadays we need some good hero role models. Gideon is one of them, praise the Lord. And he was a man transformed by his faith. Can you say amen? Now, let's go back to Mark 11. Back to Mark 11. I want us to focus on what it says in verse 14, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry, verse 20. Mark 11:20. In the morning as they passed by, they saw that fig tree dried up from what? The roots. Say the roots. Mountains have roots. Every problem in your life has a root. Many times we just see the fruit, the surface, you know? Like you've heard people say, don't just put a Band-Aid on a terminal disease, right? You don't want to just deal with it that way. You want to get to what? Get to the root, right? This is what doctors, that's what they aim for, to get you healed up, is they want to go to the root of the problem, the root of the disease. What created that tumor? What created that malfunction of the cells in your body? What created that organ getting out of whack? You know, all these things. There's a root to every problem. And Jesus gave us the key to dealing with roots. And what is it? Believe in your heart, say with your mouth. Amen? You speak unto the mountain. I love the verse in Proverbs that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We usually emphasize the life part, don't we? We usually say, speak life, right? Because you have a choice with your mouth. But there are times, how many of you know, there's also a verse in the Bible that says, there's a time and a season for everything. And there's a time to actually speak death with your mouth. And that's when you're talking to roots. Amen? You want to curse that thing. And sometimes there are family curses that come down to us, unsolicited, unexpected. And when you identify that thing by the Holy Ghost or God illuminates it, you know, you're reading your Bible one day and God says, you know what, there's a root of such and such in your family. Then you use your mouth and you rise up and kill that thing. Amen. You speak to it. Like Jesus talked about speaking to the mountain. You say, I sever you from my life in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of this addiction or that addiction off my family. I say you're severed, no more. And you declare it. And watch the mountain move. Amen? We said last week that faith is like a muscle. Every man in this room has the same muscle group as Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I don't see too many guys in here that look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Myself included. Why? Because Arnold did something different that we just haven't quite mustered up the discipline to do. What did he do? He went into the gym and worked out those muscles. But we all had the same, what? Potential. Potential in terms of muscle structure. And so faith must be exercised. Amen? Faith must be utilized in order for it to grow. Praise the Lord. Listen, I want to tell you this. God has done the hard part. And it is his part to do the hard part. When you're believing God for healing, it's God's part to actually touch your body with power and make the change. But your part and my part is actually the easy part. It's all just believing in the heart, speaking with the mouth. Are you with me? But if you don't do your part, guess what? God can't do his. I'm talking to mature believers now. Listen, when an unsaved person comes to an altar in church, many times God will do a miraculous healing in their life because they got no faith. Are you with me? Yep. They're not even babes in the Lord yet. Mm-hmm. And so God will oftentimes do miracles among the lost, among sinners. In fact, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. Why did he give us these signs? To help them believe. Yeah. Right? Make believers out of them. You heal a sick man on the street and he's never heard of Jesus, he's going to stop and take notice. By the way, those first two signs that Jesus listed in Mark 16, it's interesting. No one in the Old Testament had that experience. What were they? In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. There was not one person that I can think of. You correct me, you Bible scholars in here, if I'm missing something. But I never saw once in the Old Testament that a person got relieved of a demon. But how many of you know, I'm sure there were plenty of them around. They've been around since before the Old Testament. But because the authority of the new covenant was not in place. Are you with me? You could have been born during Joshua's time. And if your next door neighbor was half crazy and screaming at night, howling at the moon because he was demon possessed, you would have had no power to deal with it. But guess what? You were born in the 20, well, you were born in the last 100 years. I know that. I'm not going to name centuries in here. Could get in trouble. I think it's kind of cool to be born before the year 2000. I'm kind of glad I'm got up in years enough that I can go 1960 such a, it's kind of cool. I'm glad I have a little bit of legacy there. But listen, this is the most awesome time to be alive as a believer. Because in the days of Elijah the prophet, the days of King David, the days of Moses, there was no relief from demonic power. And there was never anyone in the Old Testament that ever spoke in tongues. At least not according to what's written. Those are new signs for new times. Amen? Amen. And that we're in that time. Praise the Lord. So wear it well. Wear it proud. Yes. We're a Pentecostal church here. It means we believe in the day of Pentecost. It doesn't mean we don't cut our hair or we don't wear short sleeves. It means we believe in the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came and he filled believers and gave them power and an ability to speak a new language. Amen? A language that comes from heaven, a language that enables us to communicate with God directly on the bat phone. Isn't that cool? You ever watch Batman when he got the red telephone, the special phone, the bat phone they call Batman with? Praise the Lord. We said that faith talks like God. Faith talks like God. When God talks about you and I in the new covenant, he makes some interesting statements because he speaks from a position of faith, right? There's no doubt in God. So he says things like, through the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus even walked the earth, he declares, by his stripes, we are healed. Yes. Present tense. It hasn't even happened yet. Jesus hasn't even come to earth yet. And the prophet's saying it as if it's happening right before his eyes. Because when he saw that vision, it was happening right before his eyes. He saw Jesus being whipped for you and for me, for every disease we would ever be faced with. Even the stuff we brought on ourselves. Praise the Lord. And then Peter, speaking on that side of the cross, just on the other side of the resurrection, looking back, said of Jesus, he said, by his stripes ye were healed. So when we're going to exercise our faith for healing, what have we got to do? We've got to talk like God talks. Look at this verse on the screen, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. You can look it up if you want. Or we'll just put it up here for you. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's us. Amen? Consider the apostle. What is an apostle? It's a person who's sent. Consider the apostle, the sent one, and the high priest of our profession. That word profession could also read confession, the things that you say. Jesus is the high priest of the things that you and I say. Amen. What does that mean by calling him the high priest? It means he makes them happen. Mm-hmm. Amen? He is our high priest. And that word profession in the original Greek language comes from this word, homologeia. Homo, like homogenized milk, means unified. Homo, same. Logeia, word. Same word. Say that with me. Same word. Jesus is the high priest of those who speak the same word he speaks. So listen, I know this sounds like it's splitting hairs, but you got to be careful because what your natural mind will do is say, I believe God will heal me. But that's not what he said. He said, by my stripes, born at Calvary 2,000 years ago, you were healed. Yes. So we say the same word he says in faith. You say, well, I don't see it yet. Yeah, I know. That's what faith is. It wouldn't be faith if you saw it already. It'd just be declaring, you just be, like the news. When you watch the news, it's no longer news, right? you just saw it. Now it's old news, right? And Jesus says, you talk the way I talk. And what did he say at the cross? He declared so that we would be certain and have no doubt. One of the last words Jesus declared is finished. Finished. I know in the King James it says it is finished, but in the original language, it was one word. It was finished. What Jesus did at Calvary is a finished work. Your healing is already finished.
Hallelujah.
So I haven't even gone to the doctor yet. I don't even know what I'm struggling with. It's finished.
Amen. That's right.
We say what he says. It's finished. Amen. Homologia. Same word. By the way, a beautiful verse in the Bible that talks about the power of the Word of God. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Wow, that's awesome. By the word of the Lord, right? He made the heavens. Now, that's not just talking about the beautiful blue sky above us, but everything we see in today's world, like on the Hubble telescope. And what's that other telescope? It's even better. That one, yeah. What my son-in-law said from the way back. Yes, that Webb, isn't it? James Webb. Yeah, the James Webb telescope. If you want to see something amazing, Google James Webb telescope on the net, and you'll see these amazing places in outer space that we could never see before. And by the word of the Lord were those heavens made. Amen? Listen, there is creative power in the word of God. And when you put the word of God in your mouth, as it is spoken in this book, this word in your mouth is as creative as being in God's mouth. Amen? And by the words of God, when you line up, homologia, you speak the same word that he speaks, power is released into your situation. Power is released into your body. Power is released into your finances. Listen, saints, this is the way every saint that's ever done anything amazing in the Old Testament or the New, it's how they got it done. You'll see the phrase over and over again in Hebrews chapter 11. What does it say? By faith, Samson defeated the Philistines. By faith, David conquered the giant. By faith, say it with me. By faith. They say, well, I'm kind of new to this faith teaching. Go ahead and get used to it. Because anything we'll achieve in this life, anything we will do great or small in the Lord's kingdom will come as a result of us doing it by faith. By faith. And how does that faith come to you? Well, you say, I'm facing this trouble and I really don't know what the answer is. You get along with your Bible. You wake up 15 minutes earlier in the morning. Instead of doing your normal routine, you take 10, 15 minutes out and you just sit with that Bible in your lap. And you say, speak to me, God. He'll show you where to go. Read a proverb. If you don't know where to start, read a proverb every day. There's 31 proverbs. There's one for a chapter for every day of the month. You can just read that chapter for the day. We read one chapter a day in the New Testament. Our church does. We have a Bible reading program we do every year. We read through the New Testament every year. You guys are to be commended. Most Christians don't read their Bibles. For a lot of them, it's a decoration in their home. Put on the coffee table. It looks nice, you know? Let me say something about the Bible. I want to encourage you to have a hard copy Bible that you make your own. If you're not sure what I know there's a zillion translations out there to start with. You can start with King James. It's a little challenging to read. I recommend a parallel. If you're going to get King James, get something like the New Living Translation as well, side by side to compare, or the ESV, the English Standard Version, or my wife's favorite, NASB, New American Standard Version. But get you a good Bible, a hard copy Bible. You say, Pastor, I hear you say this all the time. You know, I used to, for about a year, about 15 years ago for this church, I took my cell phone to church, and that was my Bible. I'd flip over my Bible app. I thought I was so cool and high tech. Listen, that's cool. I use my Bible app a lot when I study the Word. But listen, in China, they recently shut down all the Bible apps that the young people were using. Now, that's a problem if you don't have one of these. They also went in and decided to rewrite this because they realized how much the Chinese people appreciated the written word of God. And so they took stories like Jesus when he set the woman free who was caught in adultery. Right? Remember they were ready to stone her? And it says that Jesus said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. Right? And one by one, the Pharisees went away. And Jesus was left with the woman and he said, no man condemns you. Right? Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. Sin no more. Well, the Chinese rewrote that to say that when the Pharisees went away, Jesus looked around and he stoned her himself. Crazy, huh? That's what they're doing over there. They're rewriting the Bible to keep their people in the dark. Now, I know we live in America, land of the free, home of the brave. But I'm just telling you, saints, you better not rely on an app completely. Now, my wife can tell you again, I use the app all the time. but I go to the hard copy. Amen? And if I was on the go or the government was chasing me down, they'd find me running with this book in my hand. Amen? They're not going to get my app only. They're going to have to take the book out of my hand. So get you a hard copy. There's something to seeing it on the written page. And it becomes a part of you. Amen? It becomes a part of your life. That commercial's for free, by the way. Turn to James 5. James chapter 5. Are you getting some things out of today's message? Yeah. I feel many times when I'm up here, it's not me speaking. I feel like I'm almost out of my body. It's like the Spirit's just speaking through me. And I know He's feeding some of you, but I don't often see the feedback till later. But I know God's using the Word. Amen. James 5, verse 11. This is the New International Version. James 5, 11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Listen, this is the hard thing about faith, is we want things now. You know, if you've got pain in your body or you've got a condition in your body, you've been struggling with it. Well, the fact is, you may be late to the game and believe in God for that thing to go away. So just, you've got to give it some time. Amen? You can't just go and walk into the gym and try to be Arnold Schwarzenegger and lift 500 pounds deadlift. It'll kill you. You got to start where? You got to start where you're at. Start your faith where you're at. Amen? But it says here that we've seen the end result of Job's perseverance. I love this verse. The Lord is good. Amen? He's full of mercy and compassion. Let's look at it again. James 5:11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. You ought to circle that word finally, or let's see in the King James what it says, the end of the Lord. You ought to circle that phrase, the end of the Lord, if you have King James, or underline it, highlight it. The end of the Lord. I'm telling you, saints, the end of the Lord is always good, always full of mercy, always compassionate. Why? Because Jesus came for us. Jesus finished a work on the cross that released God's mercy, His blessings, His best for you and I. Aren't you glad? This is the gospel, amen? This is the good news. And Job persevered. What does that mean? He stuck it out. He didn't give up his faith on God. He didn't quit saying the right thing. Although he said some dumb things. We all say some dumb things, right? I do. I don't know about you, but I do. Occasionally, working to minimize the dumb things, right? Look over in Mark chapter 4. Go back to Mark chapter 4. You got to have perseverance to make this thing work when we're talking about faith. Faith doesn't happen. It's not microwave. Are you with me? You can just run to the doctor and get that such and such cut off, but you know, you might want that body part later. Or you might just want to have a little patience, speak the word of the Lord. Have some faith. Be strong in faith. Don't waver. And stick it out like Job stuck it out. Now look at Mark chapter 4, verse 28. Look at this description. It says here, "For the earth bringeth forth her fruit of herself." Read that out loud if you had the King James. "First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." Some of the modern translations actually talk about wheat. The idea there is that when a wheat plant or any kind of grain type food bearing plant first springs up, what happens first? The blade of the blade pokes up through the ground, right? Wow, here it comes. But there's no food on there yet. It's just a blade of grass. But you got to give it more time. And what happens? Then the stalk forms, and in the stalk is where we're going to get the fruit or the wheat or the corn or whatever we planted. And so the stalk then forms, the part that will produce the food. And then thirdly, the full harvest. Amen? But it's showing there that there's a progression. The earth, Jesus is using the analogy, brings forth food in this way. First the blade, then the ear or the stalk, and then the full harvest. Listen, your faith is like that when you're believing God for something. And here's what we do. Oftentimes, our natural mind will belittle the slight progress that we've seen. You have to be grateful. You have to stay thankful. You have to keep your eye looking for any sign of hope, any sign of change. This is why many times when we pray for you here at the altar, I'll say, "Do you feel any different?" Now, I don't always say that. And I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but what we're trying to do is say, has there been a change? Has your faith and our faith joined together in the anointing here by the Holy Spirit, has it produced a change yet? Yeah. Why? Because that change gives you a glimmer of hope. It ignites your faith to keep believing. Amen? It keeps you going. So listen, patience is required. The writer of Hebrews said this, Hebrews 6:12. You can look it up later. Through faith and patience. Through faith and patience. Well, let's look at it together. We got time. My plane's not leaving until 9 o'clock. I got a long while. Hebrews 6:12. Now, you have to understand what the book of Hebrews was written to. It was a certain group of people. Who do you think they are? Hebrews, right. It's not a trick question. Why would the writer write a book specifically targeted at Hebrews? Because the Jewish people at that time were being tempted to go back to animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices, which totally insults what? The cross. Jesus was the final sacrifice. He's called the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. And these Jews were being tempted because of persecution. Listen, none of us have ever known this kind of persecution. They were losing their houses. They were being cut off from their families. Imagine this, that you're a son, you're being apprenticed by your father. Let's say you're a blacksmith or some sort of iron worker or some sort of hand trade, carpenter, whatever. And your father has taught you everything you know. And all of a sudden overnight, you come to believe in Jesus as your Savior. And your father says, you're cut off from the business. Now that's a problem. How many of you guys ever done handyman work, carpentry work, journeyman work? You got it. You base your business on what? Word of mouth. Well, if word gets around in the community, and Jews were a tight community, trust me, because it was their attitude was it's us against the world. So we all got to stick together. But all of a sudden, if that whole community turns against you, guess what? You're out of a trade. You're out of money. You're in a pickle. And this is what the Hebrews were faced with. Losing their job, losing their clientele base, losing their inheritance in the family. Folks, they knew what it was to give up, to give up. We're going to be going to Turkey tonight, and part of the trip is going to involve a tour among the seven churches and the ancient ruins that are there with the churches that John wrote about in the book of Revelation, right? Ephesus, Sardis, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Laodicea, and Philadelphia. That's it, right? Philadelphia, like the modern city. And it's interesting, when Jesus writes to the churches in the book of Revelation, each one, he says the same thing in each church's case. No matter what they were faced with, no matter what they were challenged with, he says this, to him that overcomes. Folks, there have been people that have paid the price beyond our comprehension for this gospel we're talking about this morning. They've paid with their lives, paid dearly. In one city that we'll be going to, Pergamon, there was idol worship all over that part of the ancient world back in the day. There was a guy that Jesus mentions by name, Antipas. And he was martyred, and this is the way they martyred him in this particular case. They had a bull, created this huge statue of a bull made out of bronze, and it was like an oven. And they had a little side door on the side. They put people in there bound hand and foot, and they lit a fire under the bull. That's how Antipas died. He gave his life for the gospel, roasting inside this bull. Imagine that. And you and I are struggling to believe God because it hadn't just happened just yet, just the way we've been speaking. No, listen, we got to stick it out. Amen. Listen, the streets of heaven are, according to the Revelator, they are purest gold. Yes. Why do you think God put pure gold on the streets of heaven? For the feet of people like Antipas to walk on. So stick it out, will you? You haven't suffered like Job. You haven't suffered like Antipas. Whatever your faith battle is right now that you're fighting, it's just muscle building time. Amen? Amen. You're in the gym. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. That's a secular saying that says whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. There's some truth to that, right? I don't like the saying, but it's true. And whatever you're facing right now, it's nothing compared to what many saints have faced. So stick it out. To him that overcomes, the promise is given. Amen?
Amen.
Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll wrap things up with this. 1 Peter 1, this is a little more to the right from Hebrews. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which, of course, that's a good way to wake up in the morning, by the way. Go ahead and put that verse on your lips. It's good. Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whether you do or don't see your breakthrough in whatever you believe in God for, what happens in your heart in the process, this scripture says, is more precious than gold. Even though gold is refined using fire. Now, a lot of things would burn up in fire, but apparently gold won't burn up. You can actually use fire to refine gold. And I'm also told, I haven't verified this, maybe someone's a more knowledgeable metal worker in here, that when gold is purified to a certain level, it becomes like transparent. Is that, anybody heard that? Yeah. Which is why, you know, science only proves the Bible. It doesn't disprove it. That's why when John saw the streets of gold in heaven, and he said they were purest gold, transparent. See, that ties right into 1 Peter's words here, where he says, the trying of your faith. Listen, what happens when you and I are tested, when you and I are challenged, and when we exert our faith to believe God to overcome that mountain, there's something wonderful that happens in the human heart. And the Bible says it's much more precious than gold in the sight of God. And that's I'm going to read it here. The trying of your faith. It doesn't feel that precious at the moment, right? It feels grueling, actually, to the believer. But in God's eyes, it's precious. What does God value? Faith. The Word tells us without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But when we have faith, amen? Listen, how many of you ever believed God for something and it just didn't, it flopped? It didn't come to pass. You ever... Come on, any honest Christians in here today? All right. Just checking. Beside myself. How many of you know the issue wasn't with God? It was probably in human failing, right? God's never at fault. Never at fault. Unlike the Greek mythology type gods, you know, they always had a good side and a bad side, right? God doesn't have any bad side to him. There's no fault with God. If things haven't worked out according to your plans or your desires and you've been disappointed, it wasn't God that disappointed you.
That's right.
There is a devil, remember? We're at war. However, the victory that overcomes this world is our faith. And it will overcome.
Amen.
And in the process, God's watching the human heart. He's watching our heart as we're putting our trust in Him. And it's precious. I know that sounds, you know, maybe sounds like God's kind of, he takes this fiendish delight in us suffering. That's not it at all. But he knows the suffering that we're in. He knows the challenge we're in because we live in a fallen world. But honestly, saints, the way to break through to God's power is when you and I respond to him in faith. You see, that's our move. That's our move. There's times when it's your move. There's times when it's God's move. It's like a game of checkers. And until we have faith, God can't move. Now, you may not want to hear that, you know. There's sometimes just people just kind of expecting, well, that mercy bomb will just hit me out of heaven, you know, like a brick out of the sky. No, God's waiting on you to believe. And when you believe and when you speak to that mountain, you speak to that situation and you say, well, what do I say to it? Say what he says to it. If it's sickness, find out what the Bible says about sickness. Psalm 103, he forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases.
That's right.
Psalm 30, verse 1, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me up. You've not made my foes to exalt over me, right? He sent his word and healed us, delivered us from his destructions. Find out what the Bible says about that issue and speak what he speaks.
Amen.
There was a lady in Singapore. She grew up as an orphan. The lady, the woman who took her into her home was not her relative, but she called her like her grandma. She referred to her as her grandma, but she just basically adopted her off the streets because this girl was homeless and no family. The young girl's name was Olivia, and she wasn't very well educated, and the woman that took her in had a very bad gambling issue. She gambled away all the money that came into the home. Even when Olivia got old enough to go out and work odd jobs, she'd bring the money home to help support them, and the woman would gamble the money away. Well, in spite of that rough upbringing, Olivia went on to become one of the most successful businesswomen in Southeast Asia. She went on to be a multimillionaire, and it's a long story, but the credit that she gave in her testimony was this. I took one verse from the Bible, John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And that was her meditation. She took that promise from God's word. And she said, Jesus, I believe you came to give me life abundantly. And she made that her faith quest, if you will. That abundant life that word promised. Just one scripture. See, I'm not trying to tell you that you got to memorize the whole book. You don't have to have 100 scriptures for your situation. One scripture will do. And it pert near made a billionaire out of Olivia Lum. Amazing, amazing. And there's story after story of people who did the same thing. Listen, as you'll spend time in the book, Joshua spent time in the book and the Lord breathed. He looked over his shoulder and said, this book of the law. He breathed the now word because Joshua was spending time in the word. You got to invest something here. Faith's not going to work on you if you don't invest in the word of God. But when you do, he can breathe his life into a promise. He can breathe it into your heart. And then you stand on that promise. You make it your sword. You say, this is where I'm driving in the stake. This is where I'm standing in faith. I'll take nothing less. I'll say it the way he said it. If it's regard to healing, we say by his stripes, I was healed. Even if nothing's changed in my body, I'm still healed because the word says I'm healed. And you speak it and believe it and believe it and speak it. Listen, Charles Capps said one time, he told the Lord, just honestly, just talking to God open-hearted. He said, you know, Lord, I don't believe these things I'm saying to you. I mean, you know, that's just honesty. Sometimes you the word is in your mouth and you go, it doesn't feel this way. What you said in this book doesn't feel like my circumstance. But he said, the Lord just said, it's okay, Charles. You just keep saying it. You'll believe it. And this thing will happen. And of course, he went on to believe it in a big way. We're going to talk about this more in the future, but meditating the word, when the psalmist says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's from Psalms chapter 1. The word meditate in the Hebrew language actually meant to chew the cud. How many of you farming people know what I mean by chew the cud? All right? Yeah, Dave and Judy know, Lori Lynn. Cows, they don't just eat their food. They don't gobble it down like some of us do. They do what? They chew it and chew it and chew it. And I understand they've got like several chambers in their stomach. They spit it down. They bring it up. Four chambers. Thank you, Judy. They swallow it. They chew it. Bring it back up. That sounds awful. And they chew it some more. Right? Like some spicy Mexican food. It just comes back up sometimes. You chew it some more. And you move on to dessert. And the cows chew their cud and chew and chew and chew. This is what we do with the Bible, folks. It's what we do with the promise of God. Is you read it, you think on it, you ask the Holy Spirit, show me. Because, you know, every time you pick up this book, you should have this attitude. I never saw that before. I never read that verse before. Even if it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've got it memorized from my childhood, but I've never seen this verse before. Why? Because as long as you think this is just information, it will never be revelation to you.
Yes.
This is a different book from any other book, in that every time you pick it up, the Holy Spirit has the potential to breathe life into that word you're reading. And it can speak to you in a fresh way you never saw before. You ever had that experience?
Yes.
You go, I never saw that before. Well, just keep that in mind every time you pick up the book. I never saw that before. I make it a point to read through the entire Bible each year. It's just a life goal that I have. And I have to keep that attitude fresh. Every time I open the book, I know I've seen that story before. I've heard that before. I've read that verse. But if you keep a fresh mind, you just say, Lord, breathe. Open my eyes to see wondrous things out of thy law. Reveal Jesus to me. Make those your prayers as you open the book, and then let Jesus breathe his life into the words. That's how you take a word like Olivia Lum did and make it such a part of your life, a part of your being. before long, heaven or hell couldn't shake you from that promise. Amen? I know some of you have done that in here. And we just don't have enough millionaires yet in this church. I'll throw the challenge out to whosoever will. I'll be like Jesus today. Why? Because I want money? No, but because the kingdom demands money. Now, we're going to do just fine. We're going to get in this building. We're going to get in on time. We're going to get it renovated, paid for. No problem. But there's a whole lot more we can do in the kingdom. In fact, it's a funny thing about kingdom work. The more you do, the more you see needs to be done.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And as Philip Baker said a couple weeks ago when he was here, getting in the building is just the beginning. It's not the end for us. Amen. It's not the finish line. It's the starting line. And I'm sure we're going to get in there and go, wow, now God's called us to do X. And it's going to take money. It's going to take a whosoever will in this congregation that'll say, I'll be a millionaire. Jesus, give me your ideas. You know, George Carver said that to the Lord one time. He said, Lord, tell me the secrets of the universe. George Washington Carver is an African-American man way back in the early 1900s, maybe late 1800s, maybe even further back. I don't know the exact time. But he said, Lord, show me the secrets of the universe. And God said, you can't handle the secrets of the universe, little man. But I'll tell you, I'll unlock with you the secrets of the peanut. And that's where we got peanut butter, petroleum, and a myriad of other inventions came out of the peanut. Because God, well, one man said, God, show me. Is there any show me people in here today? You know, the Bible, the Church of Jesus needs prayers and payers. And if you'll believe God, I believe some of you in here will turn you into a millionaire. Not just so you can drive a fancy car or wear nice clothes. That's just a fruit of being in it. But because you prioritize the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you make it your aim to do as much good in this life as you can before you leave here. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's not my calling. As a minister of the gospel, my calling is the word, prayer, and shepherding you. But you know what? If I wasn't called to this, you know what I'd be believing God for? Lord, make me a millionaire. Maybe a billionaire. Why? Because you can do more good with money than you can without. And Jesus is he's just so open-hearted. He's a whosoever will God. So some of you in here today are going to take that. You're going to say, Lord, do it in me. Do it in me. Yeah, I love the words of Mary. Well, Christmas is just coming up so fast. Can you believe it? Mid-August. Let's all stand together. We'll be at Christmas before we know it.
Yeah.
And what are those famous words she told the angel?
Yeah.
Be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are some amazing words. Spend time in the book, saints. Get to know this book. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't be put off by it. It is your inheritance. This is your last will and testament. How many of you know if you had a rich relative that died and you heard through the grapevine, someone so left you $1 million, you'd be eager to get down to that law office and read what's in the will. What do I get? Right? This is your will and testament right here. This tells you everything that Jesus died to give you.
Amen.
Spend time in the book and he'll breathe life into it. And we'll see some of you rise up and do some amazing things like Gideon. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hey, quick announcement. Due to the back to school event today, parents need to pick up their children up. Pick them up at the park, at the end of the parking lot. That's this direction, okay? So when you go out the doors, go to the right. That's the little park down there at the end of the parking lot. So if you have little ones, that's where you'll get them. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and give him thanks. So we thank you, Lord, for your promise that whosoever will, Lord, whosoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We thank you for the promise, Jesus. We thank you that you're moving mountains out of our lives right now. I thank you, Jesus, that today is the start of mountains being removed, diseases being overcome, tumors being conquered. Amen. Skin disorders being overrun by the glory of God and the healing touch of Jesus. Financial trouble being eliminated as the power of God moves in and the glory of God takes over finances and takes over the income of a household. Thank you, Father. Thank you that all disease and all mental disorders and all addictions are under the feet of Jesus. And we thank you that those mountains are being removed from our life as we take your word, believe it, and say it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.